Bibles to the book of Ephesians. I want to know who picked the songs today. That's a good selection. Did you pick them, Danita? That was good. And I didn't know you were going to pick those songs. You didn't know what I was going to preach on. But I want to talk today about the blessings of God. The blessings of God. How many of you have received a blessing from God this week? Can I see some hands? Amen. Amen. Most of us. Well, what a privilege. What a blessing it is to have daddies today. Yeah, that they're committed daddies to their families. I mean, you don't see that all the time. Well, praise the Lord. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be, are we all there? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the life that you grant our pastor. We pray that you be with him this difficult time. We pray that you prepare him for Tuesday. We pray that you'll just keep him in your care, Lord, and protection. We pray for his health to be restored. And now we pray, Lord, that you bless our time this morning. May your name be uplifted, and may our hearts be encouraged. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will teach us this morning. We need you, Lord, to speak to us this morning. We are not here to learn from worldly wisdom or a man's opinion, but we pray, Lord, that you will let us see Jesus this morning. Thank you for your many, many blessings. Thank you for the biggest blessing of all, and the assurance of salvation and peace with God. What a thought. What a thought. Bless this entirety of this service in Jesus' name. Amen. More specifically, not just about God's blessings, but I would like to speak to you about how to go about seeking God's blessing. There's a right way and a wrong way to seek God's blessing, and we're going to discuss that today. You know, if you think about it, even the world wants to be blessed, right? I mean, there's nobody out there, if you ask them, so do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be loved? Do you want good things coming your way? Nobody is going to reject that. Even more, if you offer somebody that you have the access to God, or in other words, do you want to go to heaven? Well, hardly anybody is going to reject a proposition like that. Everybody wants good things. Everybody wants a blessing. And so that's what I want to talk about. There's a good way to seek God's blessing, and there's a way to, the wrong way to do it. Now, let me ask a question. Is it wrong to seek to be blessed by God? This is a trick question. Is it wrong to seek God's blessings? Is it wrong to ask often, God, give me this and give me such and such and such? I think we're all thinking in our minds, well, it's not. We should be able to ask God for blessing, to bless us whenever we want. But at the same time, I can tell in your eyes that you're thinking, well, there's a balance there. And go ahead and say it, Brother Alex, and don't keep us in suspense. There is a balance, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. We have heard in the scriptures, people that sought God's blessing the wrong way, and we saw people that sought God's blessing the right way, and God for His blessing. We remember a few stories, and we're going to get into that. Now, there's people out there, there's nobody here like that, but just to complete the thought, there's a lot of people teaching these days about how prosperity is a sign of God's blessing, right? We understand that, and majority of their teaching is about how to get benefits from God, like riches and wealth and health and possessions. So that's the extreme, right? That's the thing that we would look at and we would say, yeah, that's right. That's the wrong way to seek for God's blessing. One of the prosperity preachers says, God wants you rich and in perfect health. Anything less, and it means that you're lacking faith. I'm guessing they think that God hated the Apostle Paul because he didn't have perfect health or riches throughout his life. Or at the same time, they're probably accusing him of not having enough faith. If he could just have had more faith, then maybe he could have enjoyed more health and wealth. So that's the extreme. And now you can see that there's a balance there. And Brother Spurgeon says, whom the Lord loveth, he enricheth, but it is said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. It doesn't say, whom the Lord loveth, he enricheth, but he said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now, we could all go to the extreme and said, well, it is only right for the Christian to seek spiritual blessings. That's the answer. Christians should never ask for worldly needs. That's the difference. Now, if we accept that conclusion, then we have to say that there is no place for a Christian to ask for material things. And we know that that can't be true because there's a lot of places in the Bible that tells us that we should ask God for our earthly needs. So what is the answer? Okay. Old Testament, Genesis 10:26. If you would turn there with me, see a few passages. And others we just skip. Genesis 10:26. I want you to see a few of the blessings mentioned in the Bible. One of the first ones here. And his father Isaac, verse 26, Genesis 10:26. And his father, did I get that wrong? Genesis 10:26. Reference. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him. We start to recognize the story. That the trick that Jacob played on his brother, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven. And when you start, notice the characteristics in the blessing. The dew of heaven, bless him, and say, field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down unto thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee. One more blessing there. Exodus 23:25, you don't have to turn there. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless you. Now, how's that blessing turn out? Well, he shall bless thy bread. Notice the kind of blessings that he's talking about here. He shall bless thy bread. The bread itself that sits on your kitchen and that you produce is going to be blessed. Thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. These are very temporal and earthly and even mundane. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. Thy number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. I mean, these are, you know, we're not seeing here God will show himself and reveal to you and anything that sounds very over-spiritual here. We see a lot of, I mean, look at verse 28. I will send hornets before thee. He shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite. These are real everyday problems that the children of Israel had. And God said, I'll bless you that way. And then a reference that we have to mention, Jabez. Is that how you say Jabez? Jabez was more honorable than his brethren in 1 Chronicles 4. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. That's the meaning of the word Jabez. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. Remember what he said? Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. There's a lot of people in the Bible requesting God, bless me. And God blessed them in many cases. And enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Now you say, well, there he is talking about spiritual blessing of keeping me from sin. Well, if you look a little bit closer, that might be included, and that might be part of it, but for the most part, he's asking that God to protect him from bad people, okay, or bad circumstances. That is a kind of evil. It's not necessarily a metaphysical evil. It's talking about the circumstantial evil of bad things happening to me. And God granted him that which he requested. So in all these instances, we see a very comprehensive kind of blessing. It's not limited to a spiritual blessing, but it just includes everything in the life of these Old Testament folk. You'd say, well, that's Old Testament, Brother Alex. Well, that is true. And it is also true, I'm going to add to that objection of yours and say, the New Testament has a lot to say about spiritual blessings, way more than even material blessings. It is true. In fact, the verse where we started says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. What an opening statement. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Has blessed us to the maximum through His Son. According to as He has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So there, the Bible has a lot to say in the New Testament about the blessedness of the believer in the spiritual sense. One more verse, however, tells us a little bit of how these two things, the earthly blessings and the spiritual blessing, can intermingle sometimes. And that's what I want to talk about here. Philippians 4:18, if you would turn there with me, and we'll see how the appropriate perspective about earthly benefits from God a Christian should have. And the Apostle Paul was just done saying, how speaking about spiritual blessings, and then there's a little word, important word there. The word there is with notwithstanding. A difficult word for me to say, by the way. All it means is, however, despite of what he just said, now this. And the verse is verse 18. Verse 14, I'm sorry. Notwithstanding, ye have all well done. Ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Yes, God has blessed us, and God is good, and there's a lot of spiritual things to talk about. However, ye did do well. And the Apostle Paul was blessed by this commitment of this church and sending him his support. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, verse 15, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. And here's another important concept if we're going to talk about seeking God's blessing. Not because I desire a gift. That's not the point here. Apostle Paul's eyes were not set on these earthly gifts of early possessions. But, now listen how it turns things here. But I desire fruit. You see that? All of a sudden, the very earthly gifts, the very material presence that were given to the Apostle Paul are spiritual. Are spiritual matter. Fruit. All of a sudden, it's not only a $20 bill. All of a sudden, it's peaceful fruit abounding at the account of the church. All of a sudden, it's no longer just a mere envelope with cash. All of a sudden, it's a sweet savor in the presence of God. I desire fruit that may abound to your account, but I have all and abound, having received of that guy, Epaphroditus. Good. The things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. And then go, just in case it wasn't clear that all of a sudden is a spiritual thing, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So, real quick, we're going to go through seven quick points on how to ask God for blessing the right way. How to ask God's blessing the right way. Well, the first thing we need to know, we need to obey His voice. You know, you want to be blessed by God? Anybody here not wanting to be blessed by God? Can I see some hands? That really sounds like a prosperity preacher. But you know what I mean? I mean the spiritual blessing. And even when it's about a material blessing, I mean it in the spiritual sense. One of the first and greatest blessings of all time, you must agree with me, and farthest reaching blessings given to a single man was a blessing pronounced on account of Abraham. And if you would turn to Genesis 22, I think that's the right reference. Genesis 22, and the verse is 16. It says, "And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord." This is God speaking. "For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son." Notice this is the obedience. Because Abraham, because you have obeyed God, this is what I'm going to do. "In blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast, what? Obeyed my voice. Guys, if I could say something to you this morning. In order to seek for God's blessing, we need to obey his voice, obey his word. Isn't that funny? Many people out there want to be blessed by God, but have nothing to do with his commandments, with his word. It's a little thing. However, when things get hard, things get tough, they want, God, help me. God says the first thing about blessing that you need to know is obeying my voice, obeying God's word. Peter says, amen. Number two, I said it was going to be fast. Obey his voice, asking for your needs. Okay? So, it's very important. This is a prayer that God doesn't turn down. Whenever you are obeying his word, asking for your needs. Now, you say, Brother Alex, that's simple. Everybody knows that. Well, do we? This is only a point for me, so you can close your Bibles for a minute. But sometimes I find myself running into answers, running into solutions before asking God for my needs. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm frantically looking for a solution, frantically looking how to mend things, to fix things, and I just don't do it. And it's very possible that I just missed God working out that situation. Asking for your needs. Now, the reason I say asking for your needs is because when we ask for God's blessing, I'll tell you what I mean. Matthew 7:7. We all know that we aren't supposed to ask for our own pleasures, and that's why most people don't receive what they ask for, because they ask for their own selfish desires. And I want you to notice there in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and the verses 7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. This is probably one of the favorite verses of the prosperity movement. Or say it, name it and claim it movement, or those guys. Because it said, well, it says right there, ask, and it shall be given to you, and seek, and ye shall find, and knock, and it shall be open unto you. What more can he say to you? It's very clear right there. Whatever you ask for, it shall give it given you. Now let's continue reading to see if that's what it means. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. See, there we go. And he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Brother Alex, how can you argue with that logic? Now listen to the analogy here. What man is there of you whom if his son ask bread? This is not a child that is going out looking for the most expensive toy or for a necessary thing. This is a genuinely hungry kid. He comes to his daddy. Daddy, I'm starving. I haven't eaten all day. Will you feed me some bread? Or whom is it that will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will give him a serpent? There's not such a parent, not even unbelievers. I mean, a little bit of decency. You could see that your child needs to eat, and that is your responsibility. But it is a need. It is a need. A very funny somebody, I'm not going to say who, but it was a relative of mine in Mexico, called us. She was very excited and said, "Look, God is faithful. God is God has blessed me." And she showed us. She shows a picture of a brand new car that she had just gone on, gotten in debt with. Okay, and then she called it. This is God's blessing. This is God's faithfulness. Well, what if God doesn't give you that latest model vehicle? Does that mean He's not faithful? Well, you see how that could take a nasty flavor. But what it's talking about here is talking about our needs. Listen, folks. Number one, obeying His voice. Number two, asking for your needs. In other words, ask yourself, is the blessing that I'm asking from God a need or just a selfish desire? It's a good question to ask, isn't it? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is not dismissing the need of praying for your needs, but it goes on to explain to you that God already knows. And in that verse it says, God already knows what you're going to ask for. I forgot to write the reference, but you know, don't fret, don't be anxious. God already knows what you're going to ask before you ask it. He's not saying, don't ask before, because God already knows what you're going to ask for. But He's saying you don't need to arrange your prayers in such a poetic structure. All you need to do, if you have a need, is to present it before God in a real and sincere and honest request, just like a child would ask a father. When you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much saying, much speaking. You see the connection there? Be not either for like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. If you need a reference, it's Matthew 6:7. So see that connection? God already knows what you're going to ask for. There's no need for all the fluff. You just get straight to the point, straight to the chase, and then ask. Just like a child, sincerely, God, I need this. Number three. Maybe this is going to seem a little odd at first, but one of the principles in the Word of God that tells us how to go about seeking for God's blessing is weird, I'm telling you. Returning blessing for cursing. Returning blessing for cursing. Brother Alex, what does that have to do? Well, the Bible tells us that one of the most powerful reasons that we should be kind and bless others is that we are very, very incredibly blessed ourselves. In fact, one of the reasons that we can return good for evil is the knowledge, the consciousness that one day, our circumstances are going to change. And we will be extremely, completely, and eternally blessed. The calling of the Lord, that is to say, when God saved you, He saved you into blessedness. And we're going to see a few verses about that. Christ, people, Christians, are marked by blessings. That's the definition of a Christian, is someone that is utterly blessed. Not only we're currently blessed, but we will inherit an unsurmountable blessing. We are blessed. The reason we can return good to somebody that does us ill is because we have a comprehension, a deep awareness. The one day we'll enjoy endless bliss with our Lord. Where do you get that, Brother Alex? Turn to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. It says right there, not rendering evil for evil. Does the call, that's the command, for not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. We should watch our mouths in responding in anger. We should watch our lips that they will not respond with hatred. Why? Knowing that ye are thereunto called. But contrariwise, blessing. That's what it should be coming out of the Christian's lips. Blessing. And here's the reason why. That ye, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. One of the powerful ways to you should inherit a blessing. Well, you get the point. Because one of the most powerful reasons that we can be kind and respond in meekness is that we one day will see our Lord face to face. We love God. Listen to this. We love God because He first loved us. And we bless others because God first blessed us. What cheering words are these? Their sweetness who can tell? In time and to eternal days, 'tis with the righteous well. Well, when they see His face, or sink amidst the flood, well in affliction's thorny maze, or on the mount with God. 'Tis well when joys arise, 'tis well when sorrows flow, 'tis well when darkness veils the skies, and strong temptations blow. 'Tis well when at His throne they wrestle, weep, and pray, 'tis well when at His feet they groan, yet bring their wants away. 'Tis well when they can sing as sinners bought with blood, and when they touch the mournful string and mourn an absent God. 'Tis well when on the mount they feast on dying love, and 'tis as well in God's account when they the furnace prove. A song by John Kent, 1803. Maybe we'll have Brother Jared learn it and sing it for us and teach it to us. All right, so point number four, the relationship of mouth and blessing. I mentioned that before, but let's turn to Proverbs 10:22. Proverbs 10:22. Certainly, one of the most well-known verses on this topic, and that probably has been in your mind for a few minutes now, is Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. The characteristic of God's blessings is that He doesn't add sorrow to it. Whenever He gives a thing, it's a good thing all around. It doesn't come with a baggage of sorrow or of problems. That's an interesting principle for all of us to know. To recognize God's blessing is not something that is going to bring grief later. Is this from the Lord? Well, you can recognize it. Did it bring sorrow with it or not? But I want us now to look at the context here, because we want to see how that this is related to our mouths and what we speak and so on. Verse 20 says, "The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." One of the ways that the lips that we ask God's blessing, that we seek God's blessing, is for watching what we say. Now I'll get very, very down to earth here, so follow me. The lips of the fool tend to poverty. The lips of him who is foolish, who is not wise, who is not seeking God's wisdom, tend to poverty. That's a principle that is repeated over and over in the book of Proverbs. But the lips of the wise tend to abundance. One way to see God's blessing is to watch what we say. The tongue of a just is as choice silver. It's not only reflecting the beauty of it, but it's reflecting the blessedness of it. The book of Proverbs is full of analogies or examples of how God blesses, even monetarily, yes, a just man with good lips, who watches his lips. The lips of the righteous feed many. And now look at this. Not only choice silver, but his lips help others to be blessed. And the contrary part is, but fools die. You could assume there a little further that they ran out of resources. That's not the first time Proverbs would say that. Whether they starved to death or whether they made a huge mistake in being foolish. But the lips of the righteous feed many. The blessing. And then there's the big verse. The one that we all like to quote. But that's the context. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. Number 5. Asking God to bless according to his will. Now that's an important one. Whenever we ask God to do something, we need to remember, is it according to God's will? Matthew 19:13, don't look for it for the sake of time. But this is the story that we all know. There then were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them. This is the account of the blessing of the children. How many children do we have in our midst today? Any children? They all left. This is the account of the blessing of the children. And now listen to this. The mothers or the fathers who brought these children, did they want something that was according to God's will? Does God want to bless children? Bottom line. God wants to bless children. Not only that, but Jesus wants children to come to him. Now listen, children everywhere. Jesus Christ, whom we preach here every Sunday, wants you personally to come to him. He wants to teach you. He doesn't only like adults. He doesn't only like to talk about things that are really hard at church. But Jesus loves little children as well. And he wants them to come to him. So these parents, if there's a Father's there, and they messaged somewhere. There it is. Fathers, God wants, will never reject you for bringing your children, trying to make them come close to Jesus. It's according to his will. That's part of his will. So where these parents were asking was not against God's will. They're saying, Jesus, would you bless our children? That's something we need to make sure we are asking when we're asking for God's blessing. Is this something that God wants? There's a lot of things that God wants. And look at what 1 John 5, you don't have to turn there, but 1 John 5:14, you all know this verse and you know what I'm going to say. So listen, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. That we have in Him. That if we ask anything. Oh, some people love that verse. Or at least that section of that verse. Because then it looks a little... It puts a little bit of responsibility on us to figure out what God's will is. But so far, so good. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything in His name, He will hear us. No? What if we ask anything according to His will? Then it goes from being ask whatever you want, whenever you want, to you need to figure out what God wants and then ask Him to do it. Number 6. Blessed are those that fear Him. This is a repeated theme in the Bible. Whenever we ask blessing from God, we need to remember about the fear of God. Don't look for these verses, but the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord. There's always been a requirement for blessing, to fear God. You say, Brother Alex, that's Old Testament, and I understand there's a lot of verses that say that. I'll give you a few New Testament verses. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. That's ingrained in the life, everyday life of a believer, that he needs to be conscious as a fearsome God, as of an awesome God. Of a thrice holy God. Isn't that interesting that sometimes we forget that? People tend to forget how awesome God is. And the same God that is consuming fire and that killed hundreds and hundreds of people at once is the same God that we honor and we serve today. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, says 2 Corinthians 5:11, we persuade men. That's one of the reasons we witness to people. Because we know, we fear God enough to tell people He is a God that is holy. You better get right with Him. He's a God of wrath. He's a God that is to be feared. He says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. So, how to seek God's blessing? Well, the thing is, it's His fear. It's not mere reverence, although it's part of it. But also fear to not obey what He says. And there's a constant reminder in the Old Testament, New Testament. Be careful. Be careful, Christian, to obey what He says in the fear of the Lord. And finally, let's wrap it up. Kind of back to where we started. The blessings of God are to those that seek Him. And then we could have started there. We could have said, well, people need to know God and love God for who He is, as opposed to seek God's blessing directly. You need to know your God. Psalm 119. Psalm Psalm 119. Verse 2 says, blessed, you know, you want to know who is blessed? Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Remember where we started? Obey his voice, obey his word. Well, here, there it is. But then it goes on to say, not only those who obey, but those that seek him. Those that are interested in God and his son, Jesus Christ. Not just those who are seeking for the blessings of God. Let me remind you, God is not just a benevolent God. In the sense that God is not just willing goodness to you, but God is a beneficiary God. In other words, benevolence, meaning good will, good desire, but he is able to bless us. He's a good God too. He wants to bless you. And we have received the biggest blessing from his hand. The Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with his whole heart. Let me recap and we're done. How to seek God's will. Obeying his voice. Obeying his word. Asking for your needs. Is your request for blessing a real need? Or it isn't? And sometimes it takes a keen eye and a searching of our heart to know the difference. Number three, are we returning blessing for cursing? Now to understand number four, the relationship between our mouth and blessings. Number five, asking God to bless according to his will. Number six, blessed are those that fear him. And number seven, blessing are those that seek him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. I pray that you will use it, Lord, for your purposes. Help us to learn to seek the God of the blessing. Help us to seek blessing God's way. I pray for every dad here. Thank you for the blessing that is to have dads that stand for the truth. We pray you encourage each one of us. Help us, Lord, to stand for the truth, to guide our families, and to lead them, Lord, in the obedience to the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.